We're going to focus our attention on two subjects of Yirtzeh Hashem today. One is shofar, and the other is how to perhaps abridge the tefillah in the light of Corona. So we're going to look at a text which is called Pelech HaRimon, and you'll see in that text a long list of the table of contents. He breaks it down into 12 different topics, and we're going to focus our attention, Be'ezer Hashem, on Siman Zayin, Hilchos Tkias Shofar B'Ktzara, and Siman Ches, the very following one, Kitzra Tfila B'Tzibur B'Rashan of Yom HaKippur. Now, out of these 12 topics, half address Yom Kippur. So we'll save that for another occasion. The first half address Rosh Hashanah and the days before Rosh Hashanah, the days of Slichos, Erev Rosh Hashanah with Hataras Nedarim, and then we go on to Shofar. With regard to Shofar, he has four different simonim. One simon, which is number hey, is the basic idea of the shofar, what it is meant to accomplish. Simon vav is covering the shofar, which we touched upon in the past. Simon zayin is an overview of the laws of shofar. And then simon ches, going into the integration of our tefillos together with the shofar. We'll begin, in Yirtzeh Hashem, today with Siman Zayin, Hilchos Tkias Shofar B'Ktzara. Now, I don't want to fool anyone into thinking, mislead you into thinking we're going to cover all of Hilchos Shofar in the short period of time that we have. But we want to address the following. Assuming that we're going to have to get more than one minyan going on in the same shul, one after the other. Or, for example, if there are outdoor minyanim, and there are those who are blowing shofar at home, they're not even getting to any minyan. They may not be such experts in the laws of shofar. So again, because of the multitude of minyanim that will be going on, smaller minyanim, especially here in Israel, and because of the fact that some will be blowing at home, we're going to need a very large number of Bali Tokea. And not all of them are very experienced and all the halachas. And therefore, I think it's appropriate, and I feel very strongly for myself, that it's necessary to review some of the laws of shofar. And first, we'll start with a very basic question. Why do we blow shofar? What's the source for shofar blowing? And in truth, there are two psukim, and we have to understand the relationship between the two. One pasuk speaks about Yom Trua Yelachem, and that's at the end of Sefer Bamidbar. The Torah focuses on something called the Trua. Now again, as we'll soon see, we're not sure exactly what the Trua is. But at this point, based on this one verse, there seems to be no mention of a Tkia. So we ask the question, what is the source for a Tkia? And we're going to come back to that question momentarily. It's going to be based, and it's going to kind of shock us, on a parsha at the end of Ayikra, which has to do with Yovel, which is the 50th Jubilee year, and there the Torah says, Vavartem Shofar, and again it says, Taviru Shofar, and the concept of Havaras Shofar is going to be related to Tkia. Trua, of course, is a Trua. And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Teshuvah Per Gimel that Tkias Shofar on Rosh Hashanah is Exeras HaKosuf, which means the Rambam is telling us that don't even bother making an attempt at trying to understand and answer the question why God commanded us to blow a shofar. Nonetheless, a shofar shall ayil. But Remez Yesh Bedov, the Rambam says that although we'll never, never, ever claim, it would be a chutzpah on our part to claim we know why the Torah wants us to blow a shofar, but nevertheless, we are perhaps obligated to derive some sort of message from the shofar that would inspire us. And that's what the Rambam calls Remez Yesh Bedavar. There is some sort of a hint or an allusion in the midst of shofar. Klomar Uru Yishena Mishnaschem, the famous Rambam, to wake us up from our slumber. And we're not talking about sleeping at night, we're talking about a spiritual state of slumber. And the Rambam writes that the whole year round, we're shochichim as ha'emes b'havli azman, we are forgetful of the truth. We don't always have a perspective of the divine ideal image of what the world and the universe is meant to become. We get caught up with all that goes on during the course of time. And therefore, this is the moment in which we shake ourselves and break out of that that flow of Havli Azman, of the vanities of time. And what should it do for us? Chizu b'tshuva, v'zichru barachem. We should remember our Creator and we should go and do tshuva. Then the Rambam elaborates, Yazov, kol echad darko, hara'a, machshavato lo tova, and so forth and so on. Now, it could possibly be that according to the Rambam, the kol shofar itself is meant to be a cry, a tsar. It's a trua that comes from the depths of a person in which we are sort of crying out to Hashem and hoping and praying that this cry is an expression of our being shooken up. As we said before, the Rambam says that the shofar is meant to shake us up. And we respond with a kind of a bechi, a kind of a crying. And that's called trua, because the word trua in the Torah inevitably has to do with a cry. Like, for example, we find in the parsha in Baal Lo Scha that if there's an impending doom, then we blow and we are awoken. We are awakened by the trua sounds, and we have a pasuk also in Tillim, b'chatzotzos kol shofar hariu lifnei ha-melech Hashem. But on the other hand, there are other psukim in Tanakh that seem to indicate that when we blow the shofar, it's a shofar shel simcha. It's an expression of ecstasy. How do we reconcile the two? Perhaps that's the difference between tkia and trua. The trua itself is something that expresses a cry that comes from within. It's almost like a case in the animal kingdom where an animal is threatened by some impending doom. It lets out a cry. And in that sense, we belong to the animal kingdom. We also let out a cry in a state of fear, at a state of trembling and impending doom. And no doubt that this Rosh Hashanah fits that beautifully. I don't have to tell you that today, in the last 24 hours, 5,500 people in this country tested positive for corona. 5,500. And the Shaare Tzedek Hospital is converting its cafeteria into a coronavirus ward. So we certainly need that trua. The tkia represents the tkia of happiness, of joy, of simcha. And that makes the pasuk v'gilu berada an integration of both crying out and simcha at the same time. The simcha is no doubt the great joy of coronating the king, the melech malchei amlochim, one day of the year. For us, it's 2 days. We coronate the king. In other words, we see and we sense, if we're sensitive to it, the Kedusha, the sanctity of God being the Melech al Kol Aretz, which is what all our dreams are all about, all our fantasies, and all our hopes for the future is about Melech Kol Aretz, and we get a little bit of a glimpse of that when we blow the shofar and we coronate Hashem as the king. So on the one hand, the shofar is meant to create what we call a shever, and that's why we have an interpretation of true as shvarim. Shever means breakage, when we break down and cry. But on the other hand, the tekiah is called a kol pashut. It's a simple, straight call for the king out of simcha. And together with that integration of trua and shvarim, or trua / shvarim and tekiah, we have the mitzvah of shofar. How many blasts do we have to blow in order to fulfill our mitzvah of shofar? So for anyone who's following me inside, we're on page 26 in the book called Pelech Rimon, which I sent you, and David, again, thank you so much for circulating it. And the magic number is 9. How do we get to the number 9? So for this, we have to understand that the Torah indicates that we blow a trua 3 times. Okay, that gives me 3. How do I jump from 3 to 9? But because the pasuk says Vavarta shofar, then in the middle of the pasuk, again in the parasha of Yovel, it says trua, and then at the end of the pasuk it says Taviru shofar. So we have the Vavarta at the beginning of the pasuk, we have the Taviru at the end of the pasuk, and wedged and sandwiched in the middle we have trua. So the trua has to be sandwiched between an opening tekiah, which is called tekiah lefaneah, and a closing tekiah, which is tekiah le'achreah. And the concept of havara, to be mavir shofar, means that the shofar is somehow connected, meaning the tekiah is connected to the trua. Now we need 3 blasts of trua. Each trua needs 2 tekiahs. Havaras kol shofar lefanea, havaras kol shofar lachrea. So we have what's called tarat, tarat, tarat. The resh stands for trua, because we couldn't use the tav, because that stands for tekiah. So we have tekiah, trua, tekiah, times 3. And as far as the Torah is concerned, that's the entire story. That's all you have to hear. Are these 9 blasts of Tarat times 3. Therefore, the Gemara says that if you walk by a synagogue, and we'll talk about this a little later, and you hear 9 blasts of the shofar, a tkiah, trua tkiah, you yotzi yidei chovasa, you have fulfilled the mitzvah. But now, my friends, if we started with the number 3 truos, and we jacked it up with a tkiah lefanah and tkiah lachreah up to the number 9, so we got the magic number of 9, now we make a leap to the number 30. How do we get from 9 to 30? And the Gemara tells us that in a place called Kisaria, there was a great giant in Amora by the name of Rabbi Avo, and he researched the trua, and he came up with 2 different customs as to what a trua is. And one of those customs is called Yilule Yolil, the other is called Ginuche Ganich, and we don't know what is the trua? Is it Yiluye Yolil or is it Ginuche Ganech? So let's try to understand what these 2 concepts are and the 2 traditions about what a trua is. If we hold Yiluye Yolil, we're talking about very quick staccato sobs. And those are 9 turmitin, 1 little short mini blast after the other. And that's called a trua. Otherwise known in the Gemara's language as Yilule Yolil, cries. Ginuche Ganech are sighs. We call it a krechts in Yiddish. So we multiply that by 3 and we get 3 shvarim. So 3 shvarim equals 9 truos. Now, we're up to the number 27. How do I get to number 27? I multiply 9 by 3. Why do I multiply 9 by 3? Because I start with my basic 9, and now I don't know which trua I should be blowing. So I'll blow one trua, and that's going to be nine short notes. That's called Yulule Yolil, with a tequila fanan and a tequila achrea. And that gives me one set, which is called Tarat. Now I have another set, which is called Tashat. Tkia, Shvarim, Tkia. Now each one of these two sets has to be multiplied by 3. Why? Because as we said before, we need 3 truos that have each a tequila fanan and tequila achrel. So now that I don't know what the trua is, I have Yilule Yolil. So that's going to give me 3 times 3 is 9. Now I have Genuche Ganech, which are the Shvarim. Once again, we're going to have to do that 3 times over. So that's 3 Tashats. And then 3 Tashats times 3 is going to give me another 9. And now, Rabbi Avos says it's possible that the Trua is both Yilule Yolil and Ginuche Ganech. And this gives me what's called Tashrat. Tashrat means Tkia, Shvarim, Trua, Tkia. And that's going to jump us from, let's see, we had 9, and 9 is 18, and now we're going to add 12. Why are we adding 12 to 18? Because now we're adding another blast, call it either Trua or a Shvarim, whichever one you like, and multiply that by 3. So you're adding now another set of 9 plus 3 is 9 times 3 is 27, plus 3 is 30. These are the 30 kolos of Rabbi Avo. Now, how do we get from 30 to 60? And this is what's called Tkios de Miyushav versus Tkios de Me'umot. Now, the names are a little bit tricky, because in truth we stand for all the Tkios. So to call a set of Tkios Biyushav is not exactly an accurate title. But it's a relative title, meaning, why do we have one set of 30 kolos and then a second set of 30 kolos? The second set of 30 kolos is what's called, in the language of the Mishnah, Tkios al Seder HaBrachos. We're talking about Musaf. And in Musaf, we have 3 major parts that are added to the regular Brachos of any Musaf, of any Yontif. Any Musaf of any Yontif is made up of how many Brachos? 7, 3, 3, and 1. And now we're adding Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, jacking it up to the number... What? What number should we end up with? We should end up with the number 10. But for some reason, we only have 9. Go figure that one out. Okay, that's a mission at the end of Rosh Hashanah. But be that as it may, at the end of Malchus, we have to blow. And at the end of Shofros, and at the end of Malchus, at the end of Zichronos, and at the end of Shofros. Now, what are we going to blow? Another 30 blasts. Because why? Since Rabbi Avoh has established that based on our suffix of what a trua is, whether it's Yilul Yolil or Ginuchei Nogonich, our Trua or our Shvar. Therefore, we get to the number 30, which means three Tashats, three Tarats, and three Tashrats. Then we need another set of 30, because it's got to be Al Seder HaBrochos, which means it's got to be integrated into the Shmone Esrei. And now we get to the most fundamental machlokas, the debate about which Shmone Esrei are we talking about. We know we're talking about Musaf. We know that we're attaching these shofros and these blasts to Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. However, are we talking about the Shtil Shmone Esrei, or are we talking about Chazoros HaShatz? And here we have a great division of opinion. What we're going to therefore try to do is we're going to satisfy both shitos. Now, if you are either a Sfardi or you are a Chassid, then you're going to satisfy both these shitos by blowing 30 tkios during the silent Shmone Esrei and another 30 tkios during the Chazoros HaShatz. That's going to jack us up to the number 90. If, on the other hand, you belong to a more, shall I say, Ashkenazi school of thought, which very inhibited about blowing during the silent Shmone Esrei, then we're going to take those 30 blasts and we're going to lift them like a crane and we're going to blow them after the Musaf service. And again, that's going to jack us up to the number 90. So we've got 30 tkios before Musaf. We've got 30 tkios that are either wedged into the silent Shmone Esrei or will be blown at the end of Musaf. We got 30 tkios that are going to be integrated into Chazoros HaShatz, and we're up to the number 90 tkios. We have a tradition to blow 100 tkios, and that's based on a very strange kind of comparison to Aim Sisro, and therefore we're going to blow in the Kaddish at the end of Musaf another 10 blasts to round it off at 100. Now, why is the first set of 30 called Tkios Demiyushav? And the answer is because it's not integrated into the very fabric of the Shmone Esrei, which is called the Amidah, and technically it doesn't require Amidah. Our minig is to stand. The Baal Tokea should certainly stand because he's doing the Maisa Mitzvah. Whenever we do a Maisa Mitzvah, we do it by Amidah. We're being Yotze with his Tkios, and therefore we can really sit. Our minig is to stand anyway, in honor of the mitzvah. So we hear the first 30 blasts, which are the tkios to Yusha. We recite a bracha, and in fact we're going to recite two brachos. One bracha is going to be Asher Kidshonu Mitzvot Tzivonu Lishma Kol Shofar, and then we're going to have another bracha, Shechiyonu V'Kimonu V'Kiyonu, because this is a unique mitzvah that comes once a year. And we're going to hear the 30 blasts. Tarat times 3, Tashat times 3, and Tashrat times 3. And that's Mekayim, the Mitzvah Doraisa, even with all the Sveikas that we have, and according to Rabbi Avo. But what we haven't fulfilled is that special, unique mitzvah of Tkios al Seder HaBrachos, meaning the Tkios that are integrated into the Musaf service, and according to Rashi Sheet at least, that's the Iker Mitzvah. The only reason we make a bracha on the Tkios to be Yushav before the Musaf is because since that's the first opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Shofar, that's when we want to make the bracha. That's called Over Lasiyasa. And for anybody who's interested, you can check out a sugya in Arvei Pesachim about a case where someone has only one yerek, which he needs for two tibulim, and that yerek happens to be Morar. And the Gemara says he'll make the bracha al achilas Morar on the first tibul, even though he's not eating it for the purpose of the mitzvah of Morar, which he'll only fulfill after he eats the matzah. But in any event, we're going to make the bracha before the 30 tkios, the tkios to Miyushav, and now we give a klap off in tish, and we notify the public that they should not be mafsik bidibur until after they hear the very last set of shofar blowing, because the bracha is chal, encompassing all the shofar blowing, leading up to that 100th blast. And now we have the following structure. 60 kolos. From 60 to 100, that's already in a different category. Why? Because the second set of 30 kolos are integrated into the Musaf service. And therefore, we have both bases covered. All our bases are covered. We blew the 30 kolos of Rabbi Avol the Takana in Caesarea as Tkiyos the Miyushav. We have blown 30 kolos al Seder HaBrachos, whether it be in the Shtil Shmon Esrei, or as our minig is, in the Chazor Sashatz. And that's the basic structure. And what we're going to soon see is that if during Corona we need to get one minion after the other, or alternatively, we're blowing for ourselves at home and we want to get the barest minimum, then we're going to stop at 60. Now again, the poskim, as we'll soon see inside, are going to say, well, if all things are equal, let's go for the full 100 blasts. But if we need to cut down, and I want you to all understand this, and I want to understand it myself, we need 60 kolos. However, here we get into a difference between men and women. Because the women technically are exempt from the mitzvah of shofar. And why is that? Because we have a principle called mitzvah seishas man groma, a time-bound mitzvah. A classic example of a time-bound mitzvah would be shofar. But the women took it upon themselves to opt voluntarily for the mitzvah of shofar. There are two very important points that we have to make. First, if a man is blowing for women and he himself has already fulfilled his obligation, he should not be reciting the bracha. One of the ladies should be reciting the bracha. Not only that, many poskim say that the bracha, the nusach ha-bracha changes for the ladies. It's not lishmoa kol shofar, but al shmias kol shofar. Now, truth be told, if a man already blew the shofar with a bracha in the first minyan, and now he's serving as a bal tokeh in the second minyan, he should not make the bracha. The bracha should be recited by one of the men in the second minyan who has not yet fulfilled his mitzvah. And he'll recite the bracha out loud, and everyone will listen to the bracha. And again, in the second minyan, like the first, we're going to make the same announcement. Let's be quiet, unless it's something important for the shofar, and not be mafsik until after the end of the shofar blowing. But getting back to the women. For the women, if they have to go in and out, either because there are things they have to take care of at home, or because in the state of this pandemic, they don't want to stay around for another hour, then it's enough that they hear 30 kolos. For example, they will hear the 30 kolos to be Yushov. Alternatively, they will hear the 30 kolos during the Musaf service. And that's enough. And I mentioned to you last week, I just want to repeat, that my good buddy, his name is Miles Brody, now he's called Shlomo Brody, he says that in his shul in Modi'in, he would like to institute that at the end of Malchios, they should blow 30 shofars instead of 10. We have, in our minhag, 10 blasts at the end of Malchios, another 10 at the end of Shofros, and at the end of Zichronos, and a third at the end of Shofros. So you have Malchios, Zichronos, Shofros, you have a total of 30 blasts. So that you have Tashat, Tarat, and Tashrat times 3. let's call it, we'll round it off at 10. And 10 times 3 is 30. And now, we have, but again, if you want to get that minimum number of 30, and the ladies were not there for Shachris to hear Tkiyos de Miyushav, they're going to have to wait until the entire Chazor Sashatz is completed. Why not just add a number of blasts at the end of Malchios? The women come in, they hear the 30 blasts, and they go home. Another group of women could come in for Zichronos, and a third for Shofars. That's what he wanted instituted. It seems like the rabbis were not excited about that. They don't want to jack up the number of blasts. They don't want to change the minimum.
That's Baltosef for the rest of
them. No. It's not Baltosef. I'll tell you why it's not Baltosef. Because we can blow as many shofar blasts as we need to, as long as we're doing it not for the fun of it, but in order to make sure that we cover all our bases. For example, Rabbi Avo instituted 30 kolos. Why isn't that Baltosef? The Torah says 9 kolos. But the answer is, we're blowing the 30 kolos in order to cover all our bases. We don't know exactly what the trua is. That's not Baltosef. And the same will apply for any set of 30 kolos that could, for someone out there in the tzibur, fulfill the mitzvah of shofar. So what I'd like you to do now is take a look, if you have it, on page 26. And he begins by presenting the Takon of Rabbi Avo. That's in a paragraph that starts B'mahalich HaShonim. And then, in the next paragraph, which starts with the words Prat Lekach, and I'm only saying this for those who like to see it inside. We didn't waste that time by sending it to you in your email or in your WhatsApp, whatever you have. In the next paragraph, he says that we need another 30 kolos in addition to Rabbi Avos Tkios to Miyushav, Lefi Seder Abrachos. And we have 10 kolos for Malchios, 10 for Zichronos, and 10 for Shofros. Yesh Nogim B'tfilas Lachash. And therefore, according to that minhag, we want 30 kolos during the silent Shmon Esrei. We have another 30 kolos in Chazar Sashatz, according to that minhag. That means by the time the Shliach Tzibur has finished the Shmon Esrei, if you go with that minhag, we've already heard 90 kolos. Yesh Nogim Rak B'Chazar Sashatz. So we don't blow 30 kolos during the silent Shmon Esrei, and that means we integrate 30 kolos at the end of Malchus Zichron Shofaros in the Chazor Sashatz. We're left with 60 kolos. Umashlimim liachar musaf od shloshim kolos. It's a very interesting concept. We're not even up to Eim Sisro yet, and yet we added 30 kolos after Chazor Sashatz in order to make up for the 30 kolos, according to that one tradition, that would have been blown during our silent Shmon Esrei. Then we're up to the paragraph that starts Mitzad Adin, and he says the following, that really, technically, during the first 30 blasts before Musaf, we should be sitting, but the minhag has it that we stand, like we stand for other mitzvahs. But, he says, be the Eved, if you sat for those 30 kolos, you were Yotze. And then he writes in the next little paragraph that the minhag is to blow 100 kolos, and therefore at the end of the Shmon Esrei we'll add another set of Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat, rounding it off, and 100 kolos. The bracha should be recited L'shma Kol Shofar and Shechiyonu. Now we have Machlokas Trin Ashkenazim and Sfaradim at the second day of Rosh Hashanah. According to Sfaradim, we will omit Shechiyonu on the second day because you only recite Shechiyonu on the first occasion that you fulfill that mitzvah. And moreover, if we know based on the calendar today, Hil Hasheni established that the first day of Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah, that's Aleph Tishrei. So why make a Shechiyonu on the second day of Rosh Hashanah? But the Ashkenazim will make a Shechiyonu even on the second day. And I'm not talking about this year. This year, even the Sfaradim will make Shechiyon on the second day. But in a normal Rosh Hashanah, and the reason for the Ashkenazic Minog is something that's called Kiddusha Achas. What that means, we don't know. But anyway, we're going to recite Shechiyon on the second day as well. He speaks about a case of a hefsek. Somebody spoke out. B'dieved. It's okay. But the real problem with hefsek, and I'm afraid that here in my neighborhood it's going to be a serious problem, is when you hear other shofros from other Bali Tekiya while you are davening with your minion. So this is a different kind of distancing that we require now. I'm not talking about social distancing, I'm talking about halachic distancing. And halacha is going to require that the minyanim be separate one from the other, because otherwise, a tkia in the middle of a tashrat, let's say for example, is a hefsek. And that's ma'akiv even b'dievet. And this machaber writes, well, you should have kavana that you're not yotze. I'm not so sure about that. If it's a hefsek, then it's a hefsek. So anyone who wants to research this has to study one of the most famous stories in the history, in the annals of Shofar, and that's called the Meisim v'Magenza. Magenza was a Jewish community in Europe that was destroyed by the Crusades, and we have a kinnah for it. Anyway, the Meisim v'Magenza is written up in the Rosh. I believe it's in the first parak Siman Yud Gimel. I'm not sure. I haven't seen it in a while. And there, too, there were issues where you heard shofar and different blasts in the middle. And it was Shalom Kisidra. In other words, you're up to a certain Seder and you hear all the shofar blowing. That's a problem. So that's something we really have to be careful about during these days of outdoor minyan. And now we're up to page 27. He says that if you're blowing after you're already yotze on behalf of others, then let someone else make the bracha. If there's no one else to make the bracha, you'll make the bracha a second time around. And that has to do with arvus, your mutual responsibility. The earliest time for the mitzvah of shofar, since we're now trying to set up early minyanim, is zricha sachama, which is sunrise. However, b'dieved, any mitzvah sayom could be fulfilled after alos hashachar. And alos hashachar is quite early. We should lechatchila try to wait for sunrise. He has a paragraph here on page 27 about the lady folk, and he says that since the women make this great effort to hear the shofar, then she should make a bracha. And the Sfaradiyot will not make a bracha. That's true for any mitzvah seishes man grama. Rabbeinu Tam and the Ashkenazim will make a bracha. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch will leave out the bracha. You can't recite a Sher Kidshanu Mitzvos v'Tzivanu. And that's an additional reason why we should hesitate for the Baal Tokeh to recite the bracha on behalf of the women, unless he has not been yotzei his mitzvah. That's something totally different. He says that it's very difficult these days to depend upon one Baal Tokeah to blow all the tekiyos. And therefore he writes that mitzad ha-din nitan lechalek et ha-tekiyot lekama tokim. You can pass the baton, pass the shofar, and somebody could take over midway and continue the blasts. He says that according to the Mishnah Berurah, some say that that's even lechatchila accepted. Forget about Corona. We want to get more and more people to have the opportunity to participate in this great mitzvah of shofar. Let's invite more Bali Tokeh. However, he says, even if you don't accept the Mishnah Berurah, in the case of Corona, if there's a need to get more than one Bali Tekiah, one Baal Tokeah can't stick around for so long, It might mean that he's being called to blow in another minyan, bring in, from the bullpen, as we call it, another string of Bali Tokeh. And this, he says, is acceptable even lechatchila. And if the second string, Bal Tokeh, who's taking over midway, has heard the original bracha, there's no need to recite a second bracha. Very careful to keep the shofar clean, and therefore make sure, he says, to have water, soap, and alcohol handy, and rinse out the shofar from time to time. If they made the bracha on one shofar, and this shofar is not successful, they bring in another shofar, they don't have to recite the bracha again, but they must make sure that the shofar is clean. For two reasons. One reason has nothing to do with corona, but during corona, for sure, we have to make sure and guarantee that there are no germs. Now, he has a long discussion here about the length of each one of the kolos. We don't have time to go through this in detail. I'm just going to touch it on the surface. This starts on page 27, goes on to page 28. A trua, our trua, is a minimum of 9 kolos, very short kolos. They're called termitin. But there should be 9 of them. And Rashi complicates matters. And we're going to try to see if we can work Rashi into our minug. Because Rashi says you only need 3 sounds for a trua, which makes life very difficult for us because 3 sounds is a shvarim. Shvarim are 3 sounds. So what's the difference, according to Rashi, between a trua, which is called Yilulei Yolil, and is made up of 3 sounds, 3 termitin, and a shvarim, which is likewise made up of 3 termitin. So Rashi's going to have to assume that the 3 termitim of a trua is not the same as the 3 blasts of shvarim. But on the contrary, each shever should be 3 termitim long, the size of a trua. So what we do is, we're going to multiply the trua, according to Rashi, times 3. We're going to end up again with the number 9, the same number 9 for trua, but it's going to be in 3 different blasts. Each blast is going to last for 3 termitim. Lechatchila, we want the 9 kolos, the short sounds of the trua, because that's the sheet of almost all the Rishonim, with the exception of Rashi. B'di'evet, on the top of page 28, we're going to rely on Rashi's shita, and especially if the mistake was made during the second set of 30 kolos. So in the first set of 30 kolos, he blew the trua the way we blow the trua, according to most Rishonim, 9 staccato termitin. Now, when he gets to the second set, he mistakenly blew 3 short sounds, blasts, for the trua. We're going to rely on Rashi. Fascinating kula. Each shever, we're up to the shvarim now. We need exactly 3 shvarim, not more, not less. And each shever should be a minimum of 3 termitim. The big issue is going to be if he extends his shever. Because if you extend the shever beyond 3 termitim, it becomes what? A tkia. That's not good. So for the trua, we need the short notes. Obviously, that's not going to be confused with a tkia, which is one long note. But when we get to the shvarim, and each shever has to be a minimum of 3 termitim, if we extend that shever too long, it may become a trua. I'm sorry, it may become a tkia, I meant to say. Because there are some shitos that a tkia could be as short as 5 termitim. So if one of his shvarim, instead of 3 termitim, is 5 termitim, then we're really in trouble, according to those shitas, because that became a tkia instead of a shever. He says La Halacha, the longest shever that we can recognize and let it get by is 4.5 termitin, but not 5 termitin. So that the Baal Kriya, the Kore, the Makri, who's listening carefully to the shofar, and he's gonna give a sign to the Baal Tekeh as to whether it's good or bad, he has to make sure that the Shvarim, each one of them individually, should not exceed beyond 4.5 termitim. If it does, he should require a whole new set of tkios. And here again, we have a new machlokas here about whether or not he goes back to the beginning of the entire set, or he could just pick up where he left off right there in Tashat. And it seems that the shortest shever, he says, would have to be 2 termitim. Because once you have a shever of 2 termitim, then it's already not a trua, because a trua is made of 9 blasts, each of which is 1 termitim. Now, there are 2 different minhagim about the shvarim. One is a straight note, basically it's a shorter version of a tkia, and the other is a note that goes up and down. And now we're going to want to be yotze both shitos. And how are we going to be yotze both shitos? Now, to make life complicated, there's another machlokas as to whether the tashrat, which is trua and shvarim, the trua shvarim should be blown b'neshima achas, with one breath, without taking a breath of air between the trua and the shvarim. Or I should say the other way, between the shvarim and the trua. And we're going to want to be yotze both deos, even as far as this machlok. So we have 2 machlokas in with regard to shofar, and we want to fulfill both. Number one, what is the shever? We know its size, but what does it sound like? Is it straight or is it up and down? And number two, should the tashrat of shvarim trua should be b'neshima achas or dafka b'shtei neshimos? And each shita rejects the other shita. It's not like, okay, you want to do b'neshima achas, that's fine. You want to do it b'shtei neshimos, that's fine. No, it's either b'neshima achas and that makes it into a shvarim trua, or it's dafka 2 different neshimos with a hefsik in the middle. So he says the following. This is on the bottom of page 28. This is very important for those, if anyone out there is in charge of blowing in his shul, or if he's blowing for himself. And he says on the bottom that the minig is, this is 4 lines up from the end of page 28, the minig is to blow tkios de miyushav, the first 30, b'neshima achas. Tkimos de meumad, b'shtei neshimos. Now this means that the Makri, who's calling out, should be very careful. When he says, in Tashrat, in Tkiyos the Miyushav, he should say, Shvarim Trua, meaning, B'nishim Achas, when he gets to Tkiyos the Ma'umad, the second set of 30, he should say, Shvarim Trua, Shvarim Trua, meaning 2 neshimos. Now he points out, in the name of the Mishnah Berurah, that even if I hold like that shita of neshima achas, which we're going to fulfill with the tkios de miyushav, nevertheless, it's not shvarim, neshima, trua. It's shvarim trua. Everybody agrees, and there was never a machlokas, there should be a hefsek between the shvarim and the trua and the tashrat, because they're 2 separate notes. But whether or not he should take a breath in between, kol aneshama tekal kol, that's a machlokas. So keep in mind that during tkios the miyushav, it's shvarim trua, which means b'neshima achas, but there should be some sort of separation. Now, what about the other machlokas? Do we want shvarim pshutim, or do we want shvarim that go up and down? So that's on page 29. In the second paragraph, he quotes Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zechar Levracha, and according to Rav Lichtenstein, what we should do is that during the Tkiyos to Miyushav, we should blow shvarim pshutim. So again, the Makri should know that he's notifying the Baal Tokea during Tkiyos to Miyushav, the first set of 30, that it's going to be shvarim pshutim, and it's going to be a tashrat b'neshima achas. When we get to the second set of 30 Tkiyos, according to Rav Lichtenstein's minog, we should do shvarim that go up and down, and it should be b'shtei neshimos. Up and down is called shvarim shvurim. Very simple. Okay, that's what we can cover right now. He has a very interesting summary of all this on the bottom of page 30. And he has a chart on pages 31 and another chart on page 32. But now, we want to fast forward to page 33. And now our subject is, can we cut down the davening itself to its barest minimum? We're out there in an open area, or we're inside the shul, very few people, there's got to be another minion coming behind us, coming on our tail, so to speak, afterwards. What can we leave out from our tefillos? And the answer is, unfortunately, the first thing to go, he says, is manginot. And I'll tell you the truth, in the shul that I daven in, which is called the Emek Learning Center, to give up on manginot, on an emotional level, it's like stealing half of Rosh Hashanah. I don't mean time-wise. I'm talking in terms of the existential experience of Rosh Hashanah. And it goes without saying that the Baalei Tefillah are going to have to be on board for this. Have you ever met a Baal Tefillah who's willing to shorten his manginot, his negunim? I mean, in certain Hasidic circles, they go on for 9 hours, 10 hours on Rosh Hashanah. It's mind-boggling. They'll start at 6:30, and I don't know, they'll end at 3:30 in the afternoon. They go on and on and on with singing. I mean, that's what it means. I'm not even going to Oman. They won't let me in anyway. So he says the first thing to cut down on are manginot. Hanigun v'ne'ima shebehem ha'omer es ha'tfilah eino chova hilchatit. It's not a halachic requirement. We could be yotze without any manginot at all. However, he says, based on the Maril was, I think about 6 centuries ago, one of the pillars of Ashkenazic psak, that we should try not to change those negudim that are embedded in our minhagim. In other words, there are different minhagim. There are those who will come up with their own negunim. I don't mean that they necessarily are composers, but they'll take a certain nigun, which is very emotional and very inspiring, and they'll be malbishin into one of the various tefillos. But there are other negunim that have a long, long history, and they date back to who knows when, possibly even to the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Those negunim, says the Maharil, should not be ignored. They should be integrated as much as we can. And the Magen Avraham writes in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tov Reish Yud Tes, Hamangina Avurenu Hi Chelek Me'at Tefillah. It's essential to the tefillah itself. And, you know, if I would give two examples from my perspective, it would be Unesan Tokef and Kol Nidre. And I'm telling you right now, Rabosai, that in my humble opinion, I'm not a scholar, and you have to check it with the scholars, Kol Nidre goes back to the Beis HaMikdash. don't know if you're familiar with the term skarbava. Skarbava means that we can isolate certain kinds of tunes, they may be fragmented, that date back to the time of the Levium and the Beis HaMikdash. Some say, by the way, that in Birchas Kohanim, the niggin that allows us to recite the Yiratzon between 1, 2, and 3 of the brachas is Skarbava. And it goes back to the time of the Beis HaMikdash. The thing about Nisada Tokef is that you got to be careful. There's so many different ways of singing Nisada Tokef. It could be 5 minutes, it could be a half hour. You really have to figure out what's going on in the audience. What are your time constraints? How hot is it outside? Here we have a heat wave. And not only that, people are coming in, they're going out, they don't want to stay for the whole davening. We have to be very careful. He says, we should be mitzamtzem in chazones and manginot, with the exception of those beloved tunes that we look forward to the whole year round and project us for the year to come. Those are the tunes, merkaziot, that are central, heim merakshot, they inspire us, umeromemot otanu, and they uplift us on these days of the Yom Noraim. He says, as far as Kaddish is concerned, let the Chazan just recite Kaddish the same way we recite Kaddish the whole year round. He says, as far as Chazor Sashatz, he says, there are many Chazanim that'll sing Uvechein Tzadikim and go on and on. They'll take Atavachartanu and they'll make a whole song out of it. And there are many, many examples we could give. Let's be mevater on that. Number two, on page 36, piyutim. We have so many piyutim that are integrated into Birchas Kriyat Shema and into Chazor Sashatz. Some of them are very ancient minhagim, perhaps going back even to the time of the Talmud, and many of them to the time of the Gaonim, back in Bavel. And he says the following. He says, Bein Gaone Bavel, on the top of 34, Haita Machloket, Im Yesh Bekach Mishum HaMashanu Imadbea Shetovu Chachomim. Would it be changing the very Matbea of the Tefillah, the Nusach HaTefillah, if we omitted these piyutim? And once there were additions that were accepted by the people to the tefillah, then according to one school of thought, this addition, whatever those additions are, become a critical part of the mass of tefillah. They become part of the matbea shetovu chacham. And this is going to be a major bone of contention for generations upon generations. How critical are the piyutim? Do they become integrated into the very fabric of the Matbea Shel Tefillah? But he writes, and he bases himself primarily on the Gaon of Vilna, HaMinog Mekubal Barov Kilos Ashkenaz, is that we limit the piyutim to Chazor Sashatz, and the piyutim that are integrated into Shachris, during Kriyat Shema, etc., those are omitted. So what do we get at the end of this whole discussion? What's the bottom line about piyutim? He says, even if we assume that we should add piyutim, nevertheless, everybody would agree that you could be yotze, tefillah, b'dieved, without piyutim. When there's a definite need to shorten the tefillah, and that would be certainly the case here in Eretz Yisrael, I can't tell you elsewhere on the face of the earth, then we should skip the piyutim, even in Chazor Sashatz. We should encourage people to go home, take out a machzor, and read through the piyutim in order to inspire themselves. But nevertheless, he writes that even though we should be giving up on the piyutim and we'll be mevater, there are some piyutim that essentially fulfill our mitzvah hayom of lahachtir ulahamlich melech malchei amloch, to coronate the king, Almighty God, as the king of the universe. And he says, when we get to Yom Kippur, we're going to talk about some piyutim that express the most profound, deep petition for kapara, for mechila from HaKadosh Baruch. So which piyutim should we choose? He says the following. There's a very long piyut on Rosh Hashanah, which is called Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch, Hashem Malach, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch Yolam Va'ed. He suggests that we don't skip it, but we shorten it. It's a very long piyut. It goes on for pages. Number two, Lekel Orech Din is a relatively short piyut. And my father, Zichron Levracha, in the shul that I was brought in, he used to stand in front of the entire congregation. We had about 1,200 people in shul on Rosh Hashanah. And he used to read Lekel Orech Din responsively, first in Hebrew and then in English. Because, again, this might be foreign to our friends from Clanton Park, but in Flatbush in those days, people didn't know Hebrew. I mean, maybe they could read Hebrew, but they certainly didn't understand. So it was very crucial for my father, in order to inspire them and get them into a spirit of what Rosh Hashanah is all about, to read Lekel Orech Din. He says that Unasana Tokef is a later tradition, but nevertheless, for many people, it is of utmost significance. And it is perhaps the most emotional moment of the entire davening. So again, ask me, Mitzad HaDin, do we have to recite Nesana Tokef? The answer is no. But if we're going to choose three or four piyutim, Nesana Tokef should be up there on top of the list. And he says, when we speak in Nesana Tokef about who will die and who will live, he says, Mi barash umiba magefa. Has that ever been more relevant than it is today? How can we skip it? This is what we call Emas HaDin. And we've said many times that Rosh Hashanah is a very complicated day. It's A and not A, it's Dover V'Fucho, it's Gila and Simcha to coronate the king, but it's Ra'ada V'Chil Ra'ada Yochafezun V'Yomru Hine Yom HaDin Lifkot is called Tzva Moram HaDin. Even the angels are standing in judgment. And Mi Amus V'Mi Yechyeh. He says that if we have a little bit more time, we'll add some more piyutim, but always to shorten the piyutim and ask the chazonim to shorten the piyutim. And on page 35, he offers a number of examples and precedents for shortening piyutim. I see we're running out of time. So let me just very quickly summarize what's here on page 35. There's a lot more here, but we'll do what we can. He says that after Mechayim Mesim, the Chazon has a section called Yoshev Tihilos, Yoshev Tihilos. Hayom Yikasev B'Sefer Zichronos. And perhaps he says that these are introductions to longer piyutim. We can drop the piyutim and just recite the introductions. There's a very long piyut called Ma'ase Elokeinu. It is an absolutely magnificent piyut. And after Ma'ase Elokeinu, there's a short paragraph called Ma'ase Enosh, contrasting the human finite being who's material and full of all sorts of problems compared to the Almighty God who's infinite. He says that there are those who bechlal omit Ma'ase Enosh, and certainly during Corona we should omit it. He says on Yom Kippur, it's very difficult to omit the piyut Emes Ma Nedar. It is the apex of the Simcha, the Yontif that the Kohen Gadol established when he came out of the Kodesh Kodashim and he received Kapar for Klal Yisrael. But once again, to maybe shorten it in terms of the length, and he says the following, that as a general rule, most piyutim, let the people recite them balachash, either during the tefillah or after the tefillah, if the shatz is going to recite these shorter piyutim without any niggins, without any manginot. The longer piyutim, we should choose out of every one of the longer piyutim, three major paragraphs that will give us the flavor of that piyut. But he says, if the piyutim have a special meaning and a special inspiration that links us up to the very Kedushas Hayom, the very sanctity and the essence of the day, that this is the day of Melech Al Kol Haaretz, like for example in the Sana Tokef, Mi Barash Mi Bagefa, we should try if possible not to omit them, try to recite them a little bit at a faster pace. Certainly, we don't need the hinnanis, we don't need all the introductions and the many, many paragraphs and psukim that we recite before Tkiyos Demiyushav. Perhaps recite Lamanatzeach once instead of seven times. And these and Kohena V'Kohena are ways in which we can shorten and abridge the tefillah only because of this magefa. And it seems to me that what's going on is not, you know, there are many movements in Judaism and some of them want to shorten a lot of different things in our tefillos. We should not, chas v'shalom, think that we're following in their footsteps. We are not, you know, I don't want to mention different movements, but what we're trying to do is be yotze, the tefillos, and the Kedushas Hayom, to sense and experience the Emes HaDin, the coronation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Melech. These are absolutely essential. And the Rav of the Shul has to decide in each particular case how to go about doing this, how much time he has on his hands. Again, if it's a very large shul, plenty of room for social distancing, that's one story. No one has to be in a tremendous rush to get home. If it's a smaller shul, and you can only have X number of people in the shul, then a decision has to be made together with the Rav and the Baal Tekeah and figuring out how much time we have. If the tefillah has to end after 2 hours, obviously you're going to be cutting it down very short. We said about the tekiyos, we need absolutely the 30 tekiyos, the miyushav of Takonis Rabbi Avo, the 30 tekiyos al Seder Abrochos, and we can round it off at the number 60. He adds another recommendation here about tefillas musaf of Rosh Hashanah, which is a very unique tefillah. It is the only tefillah that we have of Teisha Brachos, Shalosh Brachos Emtzoyos, then we have Malchi Zichronos Shofros, and then the third Birchas Hodoy at the end of the tefillah. In each one of the Malchi Zichronos Shofros, we mention Psukim. Is there any way of cutting down the Shmon Esrei? The Mishnah at the end of Rosh Hashanah records Machlok Shrin Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Chachamim about how many psukim we have to recite for each bracha, and the Chachamim of the opinion that we should recite 10 psukim for each bracha. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that b'dieved 3 psukim is enough. The Gemara paskins like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and therefore Rashi holds the lechatchila we should recite 10 psukim for each bracha, but b'di'evet shlosha, the Rabbeinu Tam disagrees, and he thinks that from the Gemara, the maskana is kekasuv b'toroscha, we should recite kekasuv b'toroscha without mentioning psukim, and you could fill the mitzvah, but if he has began to mention the psukim, he has to mention at least a minimum of 3 psukim. The Ran explains that Bikrat Din, all you need is 3 psukim for each bracha, like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. But in a case where the pasuk has a remez, bimkom ha-pasuk nitan lirmoz aleim, v'lomar kekasi b'torah secha, instead of reading the pasuk, give you hint at the pasuk by saying kakosiv b'sar secha and kakosiv kidibidire kodshecha kakosiv ayidei neviecha, all this is accepted. The Ramah actually codifies a b'di'evid situation in Simon Tovkuf Tzadi Aleph b'di'evid mishalo omar klal esapsukim elarach v'torascha kakosiv lemar yotze yidei chova b'di'evid. Therefore, fundamentally, we could cut down Tfilas Musaf. We could actually skip the psukim and just say Kikosav B'tzor Secha, Kikosav Diri Kod Shecha, Kikosav Ayad Neviecha. However, Lamaisa, I don't think we have enough of a need, of a pressing urgency, to cut down the amount of psukim that we're reciting in Malchi Zichron Shofros, and therefore the minig should certainly be upheld, unless it's really a matzav cheirum, and it's absolutely urgent. There are shuls where they can come into the shul each time, only they can allow into the shul each time only a limited number of mispalim, and there's going to have to be a rotation of different groups coming into the shul to daven, and in those cases, we should recommend that each minyan should be mispal shachris and kriyas hatorah bilvad, and they should make as many minyanim as they can beretzef, all that during the zman of tefillah. And in the interim, those who finish davening shachris and kriyas hatorah, they should go home, and after they finish all the minyanim of shachris, they should come back to the shul and begin very rotation of the minyan of Musaf. As far as eating before shofros are concerned, this requires a greater study and more detail. It would seem that on the first day, well, since the first day of Yom Tov today is Shabbos and there's no tekiyos, we could be mekadesh right after tefillah shachris and we could eat. On the second day, we could be mekadesh after tefillah shachris and eat, but that achila should be an achila she'ein bo kviyas suda. He shouldn't eat bread or mizonos for a shir gadol because he still has to hear the tekiyos. Now, if it's very difficult to postpone the suda, in our reality today, then you could eat the suda's chag without lechem, without bread. And one should remind another about the tekiyos. You know, you should sort of appoint your friend to remind you about the tekiyos. After the tekiyos, then you'll eat the suda with lechem. And you don't need a second suda with lechem, because it's Shabbos, the second day is Yom Tov, not Shabbos. We should always, lechatchila, try not to delay the tekiyos to the extent that we can try to avoid delaying the tekiyos. And this is all only suggestions for Corona and for, you know, communities or shuls that don't have enough place, enough makom to make the tefillos the regular tefillos that we normally would have. Okay, then we'll stop. We'll stop here, and in Meretz Hashem, we should all have a great new year and see the end of this whole period of time of Corona. Meretz Hashem.